At this point, we're going to open the regular meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. We have a couple folks who have signed up to give public comments. First is Carolyn Cardis, and then Gary Cardis. Are they still here? Oh, I'm sorry. Good to see you back there.
My name is Carolyn Cardis, and my husband and I own a property in Madison County, where right Route 611 passes through our property. Mr. Chairman, I would like to hand out some maps to the board that shows how 611 runs through our property. Can I do that?
Yes, go ahead.
At the Google map of our property in the blue, the property outlined named Cardis is our property. It is 193 acres that is served solely by 611. Without 611, we are landlocked. Ever since my grandfather bought the property in 1955, 611 has served our property for the last 55 years. The eastern portion of 611, coming off of 231, is the main portion our family has used to access the east side of the property. Once my father had the property logged in 1994, it put the property in a state of non-use. With no dwellings on the property and the forest gone, there was no need to access our land. With the forest restored in 2008, we attempted to access our property, but found that three illegal fences had been constructed at the entrance of 231, which blocked access to 611. So a year ago, we contacted Mr. Ken Smith here at VDOT to verify our road as a public road. Mr. Smith verified our road was indeed Route 611 and said that the fences were illegally blocking public access. Mr. Smith supported our position to have the fences removed until he was contacted by the owner east of us. At that time, Mr. Smith reversed his position and tried to have the road abandoned. He presented a study to the Madison County Board of Supervisors, which contained many inaccurate statements. Fortunately, the Madison County Board of Supervisors saw that his study was flawed and chose to keep 611 open. Now the owner east of us is pushing for discontinuance. I want to point out that the Madison County Board of Supervisors has recognized the public need for this road when they voted not to abandon it. At some point, some or all of 611 may need to be improved to serve both our property and the properties to the west of us. Therefore, I am asking the board not to discontinue any portion of 611. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm sorry, did Mr. Cardis, did you want to say something?
Thank you. I'll keep this brief. My wife said most everything. My name is Gary Cardis.
It's a good relationship, Mr. Cardis. That's a long, you'll be married for a long time. Keep that in mind.
She's a good wife. My name is Gary Cardos, and I'm the owner of the property in Madison County that my wife, Carolyn, just described. I want to say that the study that Mr. Smith presented to the Madison Board of Supervisors contained a number of inaccurate statements. If the study that he gave to the Board of Supervisors is the basis for your decision today, you will be unable to make a correct decision. I want to quickly mention a few of the inaccuracies found in Mr. Smith's study. On page 14 of his study, he said that 611 was not recognized as a public road since 1935. That's incorrect. If you look at the 2003 tax map that Carolyn gave you, second map, it shows 611 passing through our property. 611 has appeared on county maps for many years and continues to. Number two, Mr. Smith said that no improvements were requested by landowners. Incorrect. In 1994, my wife's father asked VDOT to improve our road so that a logging company could access the property. VDOT refused him at that time, and Carolyn's father made the improvements himself. Number three, the study said that there were no recreational uses. That's incorrect. 611 has been frequently used by many horseback riding groups in the area. Number four, the study said that all properties served by 611 remain accessible from Route 600 or 231. That's incorrect. There are three illegal fences blocking the entrance of 611 from 231. Lastly, Mr. Smith said that the entrance of 611 to 231 was closed in the 60s due to a fatality there. That's false. There's no record of a VDOT closing, and our family continued to use the entrance until the property was logged in 1994. This time, we are trying to get the illegal fences removed, and we are trying to realign the entrance of 611 at 231 due to a site restriction there at that juncture. The county has told us that this is a VDOT issue, and VDOT has told us that this is a county issue. I was told by the residency administrator of our district that if we could improve the roadbed of a newly aligned entrance to our property, VDOT would consider taking over maintenance. For this reason, and the decision made by the Madison County Board of Supervisors, I'm asking the board not to discontinue any portion of 611. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak during citizens' time?
At this point, we're going to close out citizens' time. We will then turn to first item on the agenda. And that is approval of minutes of March 17th, 2010.
Move approved.
Second.
Any comments, revisions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you very much. The ayes have it. We'll get then to the maintenance division. Sorrell. Oh, no, Ms. Sorrell.
How are you? Good afternoon, sir. I'm Robert Hoffrichter. I'm the Assistant Division Administrator for the Maintenance Division.
So we're back to the Hatton Ferry?
Yes, sir.
Ferry Jam.
I requested this be deferred at the last meeting because I was unsure of the position of the Albemarle Board of Supervisors. That has been resolved, so I would move approval.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Item one?
Yes, item one. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Item two.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I would move that this matter be deferred to our May meeting. I received a letter from Mark Obenchain this morning, who represents the husband and wife couple who spoke, and he indicated there were some concerns that he had. I think that time may resolve those. The Cardises are represented by counsel, so some of those issues have actually been addressed at fairly extensive meetings. I think it's a matter of getting the full information out. So I think if we could defer this matter for 30 days to our May meeting, it probably will resolve the issue.
Second motion.
Okay, that's a motion to defer. Before we get to that, I want to make sure I understand. A discontinuance of maintenance doesn't mean that we are giving up ownership, and it's still a public.
So right away.
Right away.
Correct, sir. Discontinuance means that VDOT just not spend money to maintain the facility, but it still stays a public way.
But, so somebody's put a fence across our property, our road.
Well, therein lies sort of the problem with this particular roadway. 611 still exists, but all of our maps from 1935 on have not shown it connecting all the way through to Route 231, the 231, and disappeared off of our maps. This is not an uncommon occurrence with some very old roadways that were minimally used. Back in that era, there was no discontinuance statute, so that if there was a roadway that didn't look like it deemed to need VDOT maintenance, they would just take it off the map. But no official action was taken. So once the discontinuance statute was passed, if we run up into these situations where there is that sort of situation going on, we try to regularize it, either do something about the roadway or discontinue it.
But, I mean, it's right, but there's no question, at least this portion, we know it's still in our system.
Actually, the western portion we know is in our system. The eastern portion, which is the one that connects to 231, that's the one where there's some question about.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I may be able to help. They've actually relocated the end of maintenance sign on the western portion so that it now touches the Cardis' property, so there's no visible question about access to property. Right. That's one of the things that was done to resolve the issue. There's a lot that's gone on with this particular issue, both with the Board of Supervisors and with the property owners, that's fairly involved. So that's the reason I requested the deferral. But it's the chair is correct that the right-of-way is still there. They still have access. The problem is there is no entrance off of 231. And because of site distance now and safety issues, they could not get access onto 231.
I'm just, I don't didn't know what the, and I have to ask you, I mean, going back to these other issues, just generally, I mean, the state, no one, I mean, these older roads, is title, I mean, I realize that our maps may be a little screwed up, but like a road today, if somebody were to enter into the state system, they actually give us title to the land.
Correct. But back then, they're under an easement.
Easement, yeah.
They're under an easement?
Yes.
Scripting. Which reverts back to the original owner? Or?
In this case, it's a prescriptive easement for transportation purposes.
Right.
So if VDOT doesn't maintain it, it reverts to the county. Until it's no longer needed for transportation, in which case the county would abandon it, and then it would revert to the adjacent property owner.
So we give up ownership if we don't maintain it to the county.
Correct.
Okay, but that's for these. All right, that's what the point I'm getting to. So these roads, like this, we really have an easement. Now, is that true? That would probably be true for 231 itself, which is a big road.
231's been improved at some point. And generally speaking, when we improve the roadway, we buy right away in fee simple. So 231 may not be that case.
Interesting. Hey, I want to talk about this at some point.
Okay.
It's an interesting question because, I mean, there are abandoned roads everywhere. I mean, that we may or may not have an ownership interest or an easement interest in. It all depends, right?
Yes.
It all depends. Yes.
What type of road? Is it a paved road or is it a gravel? I mean,
I would hesitate to even call it a gravel road, at least in the section that we're talking about. I actually tried to walk this entire road before this meeting to make sure that what we were doing made sense. And beginning from the west, it's a gravel road that comes in, well, partially paved, partially gravel. Then it turns into basically just dirt, mud, grass with a little bit of gravel mixed into it. Goes off a field, goes sort of following a ridge line or the elevation line along a ridge at the break between a forest and a field, crosses the stream in a couple locations. Right now there are a lot of downed trees across it. It is not what I would call significantly wide. I mean, we're talking 10-foot range.
So major expense to bring it up.
Major expense to bring it up to any kind of standard that we use today.
Interesting.
What's it like on this chart from the I guess the eastern property to 231. What's that like?
On the eastern portion of it, it's basically a path across farm fields for the most part. I mean, just fields. You know, following contours of the land.
It's never been used for a...
I wouldn't say never, but it doesn't look like it received significant use.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Defer.
Motions for defer.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. We'll defer until next meeting. Right-of-way division, action on surplus property. We have A and B in Richmond.
Yes, sir. These are surplus properties that resulted from some road relocations that we're proposing to fail to adjacent landowners. The first one is in Richmond District out in Henrico County. If you want more detail, I can provide that.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Item B on the agenda is another surplus property out at the intersection of 288 and Route 60 in Chesterfield County in Richmond District.
Move approval of it.
Second.
All those in favor? Can I just get the motion out and get the vote recorded?
I'm sorry, sir.
Just for that, we're going to delay the next one. No. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Now the last one.
All right, sir. Fredericksburg District, this is a conveyance of a strip of land adjacent to the right-of-way there. And the commissioner has determined that it's no longer needed.
Any questions? Ms. Carter?
I move of approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. All right, location and design division.
Yes.
Mercedes.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
You have before you a recommendation from the department to approve the realignment of 640 and 250 in Augusta County. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Dr. Davis asked if I would move this. He approves of it wholeheartedly, so I'm happy to make the motion in his absence.
And I will second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, thank you very much. Scheduling and contract.
Good afternoon, sir. Before you, we have 10 projects with staff recommendation. If you would like, we can go through them individually. Would you prefer to take them in a block as we've done previously?
So are we okay taking it in the block?
But I got lots of questions. I'm just... Tell me about some of these numbers. So our estimates on the first one, 20 million?
Yeah, certainly. The first, on page one, the first project, if you look under the order number to the left, the 6B3 is our project, Route 208. This is the second phase of the relocation of 208, which leads into the by the courthouse in the direction of Lake Anna. This is one of the more significant RO projects. Took design time to complete. As you'll notice, significant in that, and we did receive very good bids.
And I'm sorry, I'm looking at the next phase. So we estimated $31 million and it came in at 17?
The original estimates for the Robinson Bridge were in a total construction cost were at $31 million. As we were able to refine that design, recognize, please, that was a very early estimate, a concept estimate in February, before we really had any design advanced. We also got benefit of significant interest in steel pricing lock-ins. That is the second.
No, I'm happy. I'm not upset with you. This is good news.
Yeah, this is good.
Now, if it was the other way around, I'd be complaining. But I mean, these prices. I mean, we're seeing generally, just looking through here, 60% of what our estimates were.
Some of the yes, and please recognize that some of the early ARRA project estimates were made with very little scope information. They were very conceptual.
If they had to be shovel-ready, how were they conceptual? You had to be pretty far down.
The regulations required that while it was defined as shovel-ready, we had to obligate 50% of that money within the first time period, and then the second time period obligate the remainder. And that's why early on we saw many paving projects, those things that were very close to being shovel-ready that we could accelerate and get advertised and under contract, those that, which required significant design effort, we were able to invest that design effort, refine that design, and then move forward. And so it's some of these projects like these that Mr. Curley referred to earlier that we'll be able to, once we establish that total budget, look at how can those funds be deallocated and reallocated for other projects.
And I'm just also amazed by the numbers of bids you're getting. Was one you had nine actually come in?
That's correct, sir. And we are still receiving new contractor interest monthly wanting to work with us.
So, I mean, the good news is we're getting a lot of competition. I mean, how do we bond these guys just in case there's ever an issue? Because obviously some of them come in very, very low.
Exactly. There is a bonding limit. Projects with a value of over $250,000 do require performance bonds for that contract. And VDOT has been very successful over the years in not suffering a financial loss when a firm was not able to commit and complete their obligations.
Any other questions? Yes, yeah. Mr. Earl.
So you're saying a lot of the savings is really the result of the scoping, because as I look at the later projects, which are not they're the plant mix, paving project type activities, those came in pretty close to the bid. They don't have the degree of savings. In fact, one of them looks like it's a little bit over. So it's not on the material side that we're just getting better bids for the same thing. It is a reduced scope from what we originally envisioned.
It is a refined scope. A better scope was defined as we were able to put some parameters, specific parameters around the lengths, widths, et cetera. Then we had some foundation investigation on the bridges, as an example,
right,
that we had to make basic assumptions.
We made very conservative assumptions
very
going into our allocation of funds. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Scope and I noticed that the only one on, I believe the only one on here where the bid was higher than the estimate is paving in Bland County. And that has been true in past months with a number of situations paving in the Bristol District. And almost always there's only a single bid. In Bland, it's very close to the West Virginia line. A number of the other paving projects have been close to Tennessee or close to Kentucky. Do we solicit bids anywhere outside the state of Virginia?
We certainly make all those firms aware of what projects we have, and many of our pre-qualified firms are out-of-state home-based firms that, depending on what their market is doing and depending on what activity they're going through, occasionally they do bid on our work.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion to approve all these contracts?
So moved. With pleasure.
We have a second? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Thank you very much. Do you have any new business?
Thank you.
Okay, at this point, we will actually recess the at-large members. We'll be talking about enhancement grants. And then after they're done, the meeting will be considered adjourned. Mr. Coulomb.
I have one new business item. Mr. Chairman, I apologize for not responding more quickly. In December, the board adopted a resolution that asked a subcommittee to be formed, which the chairman did form, study Route 29 corridor study process to make some specific recommendations. What you have underneath your pile of papers is something entitled Draft of the Process for Studying Corridors of Statewide Significance. This is the first product from this subcommittee, which I'm pleased to chair, which also included Mr. Davies and Mr. Schwartz, who are here, Ms. Pandak. And I wanted to just say a couple of things quickly. One, the objectives of our process and our discussions with great staff assistance was to look for a consistency of the process and of the product that this process would produce, to build in some flexibility to make sure that we respected unique circumstances that exist within corridors as well as between and among corridors, and to maintain some balance as transitions occur in those corridors. And then third was to respect the long timelines that are associated with this type of planning exercise and execution. So I think what we've done here is try to help set up a good workable process that can help produce a good product. But I would say that the process we've outlined here alone really doesn't replace or substitute for the determination of both this board, other parts of the Commonwealth, and the localities making the process work. In other words, the process is a good one, but people still have to make it work. And then finally, if we act today or in this time frame to establish a process, it will guide future studies, not just the one about 29, but not necessarily dictate any one specific result. And that's an important thing going forward as well. So my recommendation to you is to please look at the draft, give us suggestions that you might have for either its improvement or changes. We've had a pretty set of thorough discussions about it, but you certainly have your own ideas. And then we'll have this as an action item to actually adopt and move forward at our next meeting.
Sure. So everybody okay with that? That's cool. Thank you very much. All right. So again, the meeting is not adjourned until after the meeting on the enhancement grant by the at-large members. Appreciate everyone being here, and we'll see you all next month.